Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast, designed for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. Our guests are remarkable individuals from various insurance industry sectors, and our host, Nina Shepherd, has been an insurance leader for over three decades. Together, we explore what it truly means to be a bold and impactful leader and find personal fulfillment in the ever-evolving insurance world. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Thursdays. Be sure to follow the podcast on your platform of choice to receive alerts when new episodes drop. Bold leaders, frank dialogue, actionable strategies. Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab. Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to welcome an exceptional Kyle Ulrich to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. Kyle is the president and CEO of the Florida Association of Insurance Agents, a nonprofit state trade association representing more than 2,000 independent property and casualty agency members. Kyle assumed the role of president and CEO in September 2020. Navigating the association through the unprecedented challenges of the COVID-19 and Florida's turbulent property insurance market. His leadership during this time ensured that FIAA remained a trusted resource and advocate for its members while addressing industry instability and supporting independent agents across the state. Under Kyle's leadership, FIAA has successfully championed several crucial legislative and regulatory reforms, including assignment of benefits reform, the elimination of the diligence effort requirement for commercial lines, and historic tort reform. Kyle also serves on the Florida State University Risk Management and Insurance Executive Council and is currently the chair of the McClay School's Board of Trustees in Tallahassee. A graduate of Florida State University with a Bachelor's of Science degree in finance, Kyle resides in Tallahassee with his wife, Cameron, and their two children, McLean and Grant. Good morning, Kyle.
Morning, Nina. Thank you for the introduction.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's an honor to have you on the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. I want to start by acknowledging your courage to accept the position of FIAA leader in 2020. In the middle of uncertainty about the future of Florida insurance markets and the pandemic. In those circumstances, I could only imagine what it took you to step up in the top leadership position. In hindsight, where are we today compared to where the Florida insurance industry was in 2020?
Oh, that's a great question. 2020 was a tough year. I say jokingly, you know, at times I have people who ask me for advice and they say, what's the greatest advice that you could give to somebody in their professional career? And jokingly, I say, don't take over a state trade association 4 months into the pandemic and the worst insurance market in the history of Florida.
No, true.
But some things you have control over and other things you don't. My transition to president of the association was a long time coming. Our board of directors had come to me back in 2013. There was actually 7 years of transition between my predecessor, Jeff Grady, and myself. And so as Jeff told me when he walked out the door, he said, I can't tell you everything that's going to happen in the future, but everything that you have done up to this point prepares you to make those decisions. That was reassuring. The pandemic was one thing. And you know, that created its own set of challenges. The market, though, really for me was much more difficult. Because we care so deeply about the outcome for our members and everything that we do here at the association, regardless of the position, you know, is about enhancing and perpetuating the independent agency channel. And in 2020, we were seeing some really unprecedented actions by carriers that they were having to take for financial reasons. And it was overwhelming. I mean, it was hard to keep up with the number of concerns and issues that our members were having to deal with every single day. But I'm glad to say that we're in a very different place today than we were back in 2020. There's a lot of volatility in the property market, specifically here in Florida. And many of our members are very accustomed to that. If you've been in the market for any length of time, you've seen those ebbs and flows and volatility as it relates to pricing and capacity, but no one had ever seen what we were experiencing in 19 through really 2024, almost a 5-year period that started right before I took over. And then up until last year, when we started to see the outcome of significant legislative reform in 2022 and 2023. I'm glad to say we're in a different place today. There, I think, is a lot of cautious optimism. I just got back last night from a summit down in Miami that was hosted by the Insurance Insider, and it had primary company CEOs, CFOs, reinsurance community, and a lot of conversation about where we are. And there's a lot of optimism across all sectors. And I think I'm hearing it too from our members that there are more choices available. There are obviously new carriers entering the homeowners market. The commercial market is softening a bit. So I'm really excited about where we go from here. There were moments in time where there was either little or no light at the end of the tunnel. It felt like it was dealing with the crisis of the day for a couple of years. I know it didn't happen this way, but it felt like there was a carrier insolvency happening every week. Now, we lost about a dozen carriers. That happened, not every week, but the fallout from that was something that I was really proud of how the association handled that and the resources and information that we would be able to deliver to our members through the relationships with regulators and companies that has sort of long been a trademark of the association, the advocacy and resource. And so I'm really proud of the way that we handled it. I wish we hadn't have had to. Wish the market had not collapsed the way that it had.
Yeah.
But we're in a very different place today than we were 5 years ago.
That's great. I can attest to that as a member agent. I think your communication in those past 5 years has really been very thorough and helpful to all the agencies. And it's really important that you communicated and helped us to walk through those ups and downs. I know some people who've been around for 40 and 50 years, and they said that's the most difficult market they ever seen. So it's really been very challenging. Yeah.
And that was, I think, the hardest part for us. I have an incredible sense of urgency that things need to get done, and we need to get information in the hands of our members as quickly as we possibly can. On the other hand, you have to make sure that the information is right, because I tell my team all the time, never underestimate where our words end up being shared. And we have a distribution list of 10,000 or so folks, whether it's agency principals, CSRs, producers, companies. But nowadays, it takes nothing to copy and paste something that we have sent out. And the reach is much wider than just the 10,000 people that we communicate directly to. And so we cannot afford to get it wrong. We have to know that it's right. I mean, it's our name and reputation on the line that has been built over the last 120 years. The association was founded in 1904. You can do a lot of things right and a lot of things well, and all it takes is one moment where you give misinformation and you've hurt your own reputation and your credibility. That was probably the hardest thing for me, is balancing that incredible sense of urgency that I have to try to get things out and done as quickly as we possibly can with making sure that it's right, because we knew that people were relying on us to have information that they can take action on. What are you going to do in your agency? What are you going to do to communicate with your clients at that moment? And we can't afford to get it wrong, because you can't afford to get it wrong. Yeah. Because you're in the exact same situation with your customer. Our members are our customers, and we're trying to advise you on how to talk to your customers and sort of navigate them through a very difficult time. It's not a good look if we give our members bad information or bad advice.
Yeah, you're so right. Now, from a personal perspective, Kyle, whenever I see you at the association meetings or in the settings like today, you're always seem to be very calm and smiling and kind of balanced. Those were not an easy times, especially 2020 and a few years after. How did you manage to stay that calm and project that to the outer world?
It's a good question. Some of it is just inherently who I am. And my personality throughout my life, I've never really been a real volatile. There's not really high highs and really low lows. I'm just sort of a stable person emotionally. But I think a lot of that comes from the fact that I'm really analytical. Like I think about things a lot and I'm very hesitant to react to something quickly. I need to think about it. I need to process it, you know. I appreciate the fact that you say I look calm and I'm smiling. I'm not always calm. I'm not all like inside.
Okay. Well, then you hold it very well. That's for sure.
Well, and I think a lot of that comes from, you know, I just recently celebrated 20 years of the association. I started back in 2004, really probably close to the low man on the totem pole in our government affairs department, doing political fundraising and things like that. But I ended up being, you know, an advocate for the association and for our members for 16 years, being a lobbyist. And what I've found is that, especially in the political process, there are highs and lows. One moment you think that you've got everything wired and you're going to get everything done that you're trying to get done. And the next moment, because of something that you have zero control over, your bill is now dead. So I became accustomed to the things around me sort of having highs and lows. But the only thing that I could control was the way in which I handled it. And I also believe that as a leader and somebody that people look to, I think calmness matters. I'll go back to probably one of the more sentinel moments in my professional career as a leader. We were at convention. And so for those of your listeners who may not be familiar with our convention, we have it every, you know, June, typically in Orlando, between three properties that are large enough to hold the size of the show. And on average, we have about 3,500 attendees between, you know, agents and exhibitors and everyone else who comes. It's the biggest independent agent trade association show in the country. And the first year back after the pandemic, so it would have been 2021, there was already, you know, a fair amount of anxiety about, okay, we're going to have this. We think it's important. Our members think it's important. It's a time where people can get back together. You know, we, you know, live and work in, you know, a business that requires interaction. And, you know, it, just people were asking for it. Well, so we decided to have the show. I was nervous about, you know, even though we had registration numbers the way that they were, that people just wouldn't show up. And people showed up. Well, Friday morning of our convention is general session. And we typically have a couple of industry, you know, leaders that come and speak. And then we have a keynote speaker that's oftentimes meant to be motivational. And I woke up that morning on Friday morning about 6 a.m. to a call from Cindy Molnar, our meeting planner, who's been at the association for 43 years now. And I thought to myself, 6 a.m. call from Cindy on Friday morning, this isn't good. There's probably one of two things that she's calling me about. Either there was an incident at the hotel the night before and somebody got arrested or something like that, or our speaker is not going to be there. I so vividly remember that morning at about 6:45, walking from my hotel room all the way down the exhibit hallway to our staff team meeting room, preparing myself for what I was about to hear. And sure enough, I walk into that room and my entire team is there, you know, 20 or 25. And I walked in about 5 minutes before our scheduled meeting and see everyone turn and look at me. I'm like, okay, this is the moment. But I kind of had prepared myself. I knew that something was not right. Of course, I had talked to Cindy and she was like, hey, just come down whenever you have an opportunity. I need to talk to you about an issue. And so I knew that that moment, everybody was looking to see what my reaction was going to be. Like, how is Kyle going to handle this? I've been on the job for all of about 10 months. Now, I've been at the association for 16 years, and most of these people I'd worked with for the entirety of my career. But I still felt like I was proving myself. Like, I'm proving it to myself every day, and I'm proving it to my people every day. So I made a conscious effort. I'm like, okay, do not show any emotion at this moment. Be as calm as you possibly can. And so I sat down with Cindy, and sure enough, she told me, she said, yeah, our keynote speaker had travel issues, is not going to make it. We have the general session that is set for somewhere around 600-700 people. And there are people that are going to show up to that session to hear this keynote speaker. It was about projecting a sense of calm that you described, seeing me, when inside my head, I've got a million things going on. How am I going to handle this? And so we pulled it off. We dealt with it as best we possibly could. Thankfully, we did have two other professionals that were speaking before the keynote that were intentionally meant to interchange with one another. So the topics that they were talking about worked with one another. We had to pivot, and I called each of them that morning and I said, hey, I need a favor. After you guys do your standalone, would you be willing to go back up on stage and let me moderate a panel with the two of you all to tie each of your messages together, provide some Q&A? And so it all worked out fine. It really, I think, looks seamless to the audience.
Now, I absolutely can confirm that, because I was on the other side of that room. I was in the audience, and I have to tell you, there was a very easy switch, like, okay, the speaker is not coming. Here we are going to do a panel. And it was easy. And you guys did a wonderful job holding the space. I remember that was around the tech and all of that. And that was a good conversation. So,
I was building that panel discussion and writing questions and thinking about my role as a moderator up until about 30 seconds before I went on stage that morning. Yeah. But thankfully, we had two other professionals there that, you know, made it easy. But that was definitely a moment that I will never forget. I had to consciously think about and know that I was going to be walking into that room with a large number of my teammates and team members who were wanting to see how I was going to react in that moment. And the projection of calmness, I felt, was very important. I'm glad, and like I said, I'm appreciative that you see that. It doesn't always feel that way on the inside. Yeah. But I do feel it's important to acknowledge that to people, that just because somebody looks like they're calm doesn't necessarily mean that they are. It likely means that they've done what they needed to prepare for that moment.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And this is one of those most important leadership characteristics, to, you know, to be aware of how they show up in the moment and to be prepared for that moment. And that's what the true leadership is about. So
yeah, life and work don't always go as you plan. Preparation is key. It is among the most important things that not just leaders, but people professionally need to understand, that things are not always going to go as you plan, despite your best laid plans, despite laying out every scenario, they're not going to go as planned. And how are you going to react? How are you going to adapt? And what are you going to project to the people around you that matter at that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of conversation about emotional intelligence in the leadership space. And that is about being self-aware and choosing how you react and what you do versus just bursting out with your emotions. And that is where more mature leaders are behaving in a more emotionally intelligent way. That is what helps them and their teams to move forward versus being stuck in the situation which didn't go their way.
Right. So I think it's so interesting that you use the term self-awareness, because it's something that I talk about with my team members all the time. So I think self-awareness is among, if not the most important traits that someone can have personally and professionally. And most times you're not born with it. You might have some level of it, but I tell every single person on my team, when I have the opportunity to talk to them about their professional growth and development, that self-awareness is incredibly important. Like, you have to be able to identify the things that you are strong at, but also identify the things that you need work on. Acknowledging that there are things that you may not be really good at is important for you to understand how you're going to deal with certain situations or people that, gosh, this situation is not something that I'm really good at. So you can try to avoid it, or you can try to work on it, and you can put yourself in that situation and try to react differently, or try to think about the situation differently, or create tools that say, okay, I'm not really good in these situations, so I need to, as carefully as I can, sort of extricate myself from that and say, hey, I'm going to need to think about that and get back to you.
Right.
People oftentimes use the example about, like, if you're really emotionally charged about something, getting ready to send that email, save it in your drafts and come back 24 hours later and see if you would still say it the same way.
Yes.
But self-awareness, I can't say enough about how important it is. It's something that I think that I've had from an early age, but it's absolutely something that I spend a lot of time thinking about, especially as my job put me in front of more and more people. I needed to have the self-awareness of what I'm good at, what my strengths are, and what my weaknesses are, and continue to refine the things that I was good at, but really work on the things that I was not. And that's an evolution. Nobody's perfect. Nobody will ever be perfect, but it's about a growth.
Yeah, that's true. I actually have a little bit different approach in that sense. I usually suggest, let's look at what are you doing well and what are the, you know, the strengths so that you can leverage those in your relationship with people, but being self-aware at the same time. And sometimes the only thing that can help is just go for a walk.
To your point, I agree. And it's something that I try to do as a leader of the organization, is that try to find the jobs here at the association that best fit the skill sets of the people that we have. So again, not everybody is great at everything. And someone may have come to us to do a certain job that over time we realize, gosh, you know, there are some things that you do really, really well that may not necessarily align with the job that we originally hired you for, but you would be great doing this. And so for a leader, for me, it's about minimizing those weaknesses and playing to people's strengths. I think that you make a really good point. I think it's something that, you know, for me as a leader, I try to pay attention to, because I want people to succeed, put people in a position to be able to succeed.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. I think you have an amazing team at FAA. So what helps you to put such a wonderful team together?
I will have to first acknowledge that many members of my team were assembled by my predecessor. And one thing that is really incredible is the longevity that we have here at the association. You know, we have close to 40 employees. More than half of those employees have been with us for 10 years.
Wow.
We have many that have been with us for 15. Five of us just celebrated 20 years at the association. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we do care about the culture. Our mission is very clear. There is incredible alignment between our volunteer governance, our board of directors, and the leaders here at the association. We know exactly what it is that we are to do and how we are measured. And so it's my responsibility now to articulate that mission and vision to my team. And clear articulation of that mission and vision, along with alignment with our volunteer governance, goes a long way. But at the end of the day, you still have to find people that are willing to adopt that mindset and that culture. And when we are talking to someone about an opportunity at the association, we're talking about a prospective employee, I spend a lot more time trying to understand who they are and what motivates them and what makes them tick than whether they can do complicated things in Excel. The greatest asset that any enterprise has is its people. It doesn't matter what you do. People is what makes everything happen. It's important to make sure that the person that we're talking to has the basic prerequisites and skills to do a certain job, but we can teach things too. What I want to find is people who care. People who care about the outcome. I interview every single person that we hire here, regardless of the job, because I need to have a conversation with them and understand what makes them tick. It's one of the things that I think I benefited so much from being a lobbyist for 16 years is because I had to talk to people every single day who are coming from very different perspectives and backgrounds and life history and goals and objectives. And I had to work with everyone. I had to work with all 160 members of the legislature. And oftentimes, I never really knew exactly where they were coming from and what they were ultimately trying to accomplish. And so,
interesting.
I had to learn how to listen to people, to try to figure out what it is that they're trying to accomplish and how can what I'm trying to get done fit with what you're trying to get done. I mean, it's the art of compromise. It's the art of trying to, you know, accomplish a goal while at the same time having somebody else accomplish their goal. And so when we hire people, it's all about trying to figure out what makes them tick, what motivates them, and whether, frankly, I think that they will be a good fit within the team. I don't have a whole lot of these sort of steadfast rules, but I can tell you one that will not fly here. Somebody telling me that's not my job.
Yeah.
I don't care what your job title is or what it has on your annual goals and objectives. If it's time to pull together as a team and accomplish a task, it's everybody's job. And I'm never going to ask anybody on my team to do something that I'm not willing to do. I try really hard to figure out if that's the type of person that I'm sitting across from in a job interview that doesn't care so much about their own personal success and accolades as they care about the success of the team. I think everybody benefits when the team succeeds. Those that are out for individual accolades, it's just not really me. It's just not people that I want to surround myself with.
Love it. So true. Kyle, we are having that conversation at the beginning of 2025. How do you see the near future unfolding for the insurance industry in Florida and the independent agents in particular? I know that you had a strategy meeting recently within the FAA. Would you like to share what's in the works?
Sure. I think the future's bright. We talked a little earlier about the market and, you know, some positive things that are happening there. Probably about 2 years ago, I really challenged our board because I felt like we had in some ways kind of been stuck being the firefighter. Like every day we're putting out fires. Every day we're dealing with the crisis of the day. And I felt like it was a moment where we needed to get back to being more strategic and thinking about the future. And what role is the association going to play for our members years down the road? And that conversation with our board at that time was really well-timed because it did challenge our volunteer leaders to start thinking about things differently, whether it was, you know, thinking about better ways to utilize member equity and make investments in the future to protect the independent agency channel. Or most recently at our strategic planning meeting, a lot of time was devoted to workforce development and technology. I think that for a very long time, our members have sort of ignored technology. I don't think anybody would accuse the insurance industry of being the most technology forward industry in the world. I think that it is the association's role to help our members evolve. And I'm not going to ever say that we are going to be the technology expert, but I do think that we have a role to play in bringing to bear for our members resources that make it easier for them to digest. We represent over 2,000 independent agencies in the state of Florida. The vast majority of them are small agencies. The average size agency is 7 employees. And that's even after the unbelievable M&A activity that has been going on over the last 8 or 9 years. So both workforce development and technology are two things. We've been a player in the workforce development space. We're very involved in four-year institutions and state colleges, you know, trying to espouse the virtues of the insurance industry and getting people interested and licensed. But I think we have a role to play going forward, not just trying to get people licensed into the industry, but most agencies would tell you somebody who's newly licensed, it's great that they have the credentials to be able to do it, but they're not prepared to actually go to work. Right. That's a really hard thing for most agencies. I mean, most agencies don't have the time or the people to be able to build out robust training programs. Some of the large brokers obviously focus on it. They have the time and resources to put together training programs, but the vast majority of our members, being small agencies, do not. And so what role can FAIA play in that immediate post-licensing to actually being ready to go produce or be a customer service rep? There's a lot of conversations that we're having around that. That will be probably both acquired and built resources. But the association has been really, really financially successful over the last 20 or so years. And now it's about finding ways to leverage that financial success and member equity and how do we best serve our members. And then technology is another piece. I think we need to decode some of that. Agencies oftentimes, you know that they need to do it. They go hire somebody and they implement something for a very specific task without thinking about the global impact on the agency and integration into what they already have. And that will be something that we both build and acquire in a resource for our members that hopefully makes it a lot easier for our average member to take some of the fear and trepidation out of that technology conversation, because I don't want to be the doomsdayer that says that if you don't, you're going to die. I mean, independent agencies have survived for a very long time.
We've seen those threats coming and going, but you are spot on with those two topics, workforce and technology, because the space that you are serving, the independent agencies being smaller agencies, there's no enough resources for the agency to do many things that should have been done or need to be done. Everyone I talk to in other agencies needs good people. And technology, AI and automation is like two buzzwords, right?
And a lot of conversation around AI right now.
We had that conversation 3 days ago at the first inaugural Women in Insurance event in Sarasota that FAIA pulled together. And that was a great event. And we did have that technology conversation there. And I had a few people sitting at my table and they were listing the apps they have, like 15, 12. And most of them are not integrated. And man, that's a nightmare and a recipe for the failure right there.
I view technology as an efficiency creator. I mean, that's what you're trying to accomplish. But if you're not looking at it from the big picture and how all of it works together, those decisions can actually have an adverse impact on the agency. You can be creating a situation where you're having more work and having to adapt workflows for the people on your team that are not efficient at all. And I totally understand. We've been in the same situation. Hey, we need to find a solution for this problem. And you go out and you talk to the vendors and all that sort of stuff. And you think it's great, and then you implement it, you're like, oh, but wait, that doesn't integrate with this, that doesn't integrate with that. And so it takes time, and that's what most of us have very little of.
Well, not only time, but also finances. Time and money, these are two most important resources. Not everyone has enough. Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly right.
So, yeah, from that perspective, Kyle, I saw on the LinkedIn that you're also on the advisory council for ITC, the new conference that just took place a few months ago in Vegas. Do you want to talk a little bit about that from that angle?
Yeah, of course. So Drake with ITC Connect reached out to me probably about a year or so ago. And it was shortly after we had made the announcement that we were partnering and creating a strategic partner with Cypher, a new property carrier with a heavy emphasis on technology and AI. He reached out to me and had said, hey, we'd love to have you be a part of this. We're creating this agent track at InsurTech Connect. InsurTech Connect is the largest InsurTech conference, I think, in the world. And they started to realize that there was a fundamental component of insurance that probably wasn't real represented, and that was the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the pleasure of, you know, working with them on that advisory board to sort of build out what the first ever InsurTech Connect agent track looked like. I was supposed to speak on a panel and attend, but unfortunately, it was either a week or a week and a half after Hurricane Milton hit the state of Florida. And I just did not feel like it was appropriate for me to leave and go to Vegas and speak on that panel, because immediately after a storm, our team is all hands on deck trying to make contact with every member that could potentially be impacted by those storms. And that really does take every single one of us. I mean, we had over 500 agencies that were in an area that could have been impacted by, you know, Hurricane Milton and or Helene prior to that. And as I said, I don't ask anybody on my team to do anything that I'm not willing to do. And I had 50 agencies that I was responsible for trying to get a hold of and make sure that they were okay, first and foremost, that all of their people were okay. But secondly, what can the association do to help you at this moment? And so, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend ITC Agents. I heard it went well. I heard it was great. It went on without me.
Okay, but there will be another one, right?
There'll be another one.
We stay tuned for that, because that is one of those things, talking about technology, which is great to have those thinkers put their minds together to come up with some good solutions, because independent agents definitely need some better solutions in the technology space than what we have at the moment. Yeah. As we've touched upon post-hurricane reactions from FAA side, I want to acknowledge your team and yourself are doing a fantastic job supporting agents in those situations. I've heard many people saying how helpful you've been. That is the moment when, you know, you really prove that you are there for your members. That's so important.
My predecessor, Jeff, he used to say, there are moments where you can create a member for life. And it's not always post-catastrophe, but that is a moment. That is a moment where an agency that may not have a lot of engagement with us, may not do a lot of things with us, gets that call from a team member of ours a day after the storm, and they don't know what to do. They don't know where they're going next. What do I do with my people? How do I take care of them? How do I take care of my policyholders? And it's a moment where we're able to help, like whether it's supplies to the agency that we will deliver, or whether it's regulatory or industry advice. Oftentimes, we sort of sit between the agent and their carriers. You know, they may be having an issue, like they're not getting the answer that they need, either from a regulator or from a carrier. Let us try to do that. And oftentimes, we can do that in a way that doesn't personally identify the agency. So it doesn't put them in an uncomfortable situation, either with a carrier or the regulator. But it's not lost on me, and it's not lost on anyone on my team, that is a difficult moment. That is a difficult moment for the agency, and all they're trying to do is take care of their people and their policyholders. So what can we do to relieve or alleviate some of the burden that you're going through? Unfortunately, we've had a lot of practice, and we have refined that quite a bit. Every time we learn something new, and we incorporate that into how we communicate, the timing, the cadence, what we say, all of those things. I wish we didn't have as much practice as we did. But it's a constant evolution to get better. And there are some really great conversations and moments that happen at very difficult times between us and our members.
Yeah. And I want you to know that that's really appreciated by everyone, because that's the one of those most important moments when you show up for people. Yeah, cool. So, Kyle, as we approach the end of our conversation, and we discussed several great strategies already from the, you know, your personal leadership perspective, what would you like to say to our listeners who are insurance professionals and leaders in insurance world? Do you have any like final words of wisdom for them?
I would say invest in people. As I said earlier, I absolutely believe that the success of any enterprise is predicated on its people. And it's not easy. It takes time. I mean, the amount of time that I spend here at the association making sure that the people on my team know that they can come and talk to me, know that I will try to help them in any way that I can, it's a big part of what I do, because I think it's the best way to foster a culture of caring and a culture that really wants to succeed as a team. And it starts from the top. You have to listen and you have to invest the time in people. I see it a lot that we all have these things that we need to accomplish. And you get so hyper-focused on accomplishing the goal without stepping back and thinking about how you're going to get there and what resources you need to be able to put together. And typically, that's finding the right people that can work together. And you can accomplish so much more when you work together than, you know, assigning a task to one person. And so my biggest advice would be invest in people. Spend the time, even though it's hard, even though it's time consuming, even though it can be really frustrating at times.
That's what leaders do, invest in their people. Awesome.
Especially at a time where our industry is losing so much talent. You know, look at virtually any labor and statistics information, the data. We are among the oldest industries in the country, and we are losing a tremendous amount of expertise that needs to be passed along to the next generation.
Kyle, thank you for the fantastic conversation. Now, is there anything else that you would like to share that I didn't ask you to share?
No, this was a great conversation, Nina. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I've always enjoyed talking to you at all of our events. And it was great to see you just earlier this week at the inaugural Women in Insurance event, which I thought was fantastic. The reaction to that from attendees was nothing but positive. Look forward to continuing that conversation and that meeting into the future. I think this was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. I share a little insights into sort of the way that I look at things, which may not work for everybody, but I'd be the first to acknowledge that. You know, everybody's got a different way to do things, but it's the way I approach things.
One size fits all solution in leadership. We all know that, but I'm sure that our listeners will enjoy our conversation. And there are a number of insights that could be taken and converted into actionable strategies, which is the purpose of our Insurance Leaders Lab podcast.
Well, good.
Yeah, this is great. Kyle, before you leave, if anyone wants to learn more about you personally or FAIA, where do we go?
Best place to go is FAIA.com. Okay. You know, all of the information about our advocacy efforts, education, market access, products, programs, services is all there on our website. You know, you can go to the staff page about us and our team that will list, and you'll see all of the people there and their various job titles and responsibilities. But I would say, if you ever have any questions about FAIA and what we do, then reach out to me personally. And my email address is there on the website. I promise to be responsive. It's amazing. It's amazing how surprised people are when you call them back. It's mind-boggling to me. The number of times that a member has sent me an email and I pick up the phone and call them, because not really big on sending lengthy emails. I'd rather just pick up the phone and talk to somebody. That way I can understand what the situation is and not misinterpret words on a page. And the number of times that I will call people, whether it's after a storm or in response to an email, and they seem genuinely surprised that I'm calling. I can't get used to that. And it's a shame because I guess that's what people's expectations are now, is that you're not going to get a call back. That is absolutely not the expectation that people should have of SAI.
And this is how you stand out as the organization for your members. So keep it this way, Carl.
Well, do my best.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much again for the insightful conversation. I wish you a wonderful end of your week, and bye for now.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like it and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. If there is anyone else in your circle who can benefit from listening, please share this link with them. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and your opinion matters to me. So if there is any topic you'd like to bring up, please send me a note to nina@ninashepherd.com. I'll see you back in 2 weeks on Thursday morning. Bye for now.